Yes, motion carries. Next, did we receive any public participation?
We did not.
Okay. In that case, we will move on to our reports. And first report on the agenda is the High Point Report. Nan, do you have a report for us?
Sure, I do. So last night, Wednesday, was the graduation, official graduation of Ohio High Point. It was a virtual graduation, of course, and I wanted to say thank you to Dr. Rick Smith and Tanya Ramey. They did a wonderful job putting it together. They had several speeches that various students did, some musical entertainment, and it actually was a nice tribute to the graduating class. So, second item is Brad Richardson is being appointed as assistant superintendent. So he was one of the satellite site supervisors, and he is now moving to assistant superintendent. Third item, Bricker and Eckler, the law firm has been brought in to moderate discussions between the architect and the builder for the improvements to the High Point home site. It's a very, very large project. Initial bids came in way over estimate, and so that's moving along. What we're looking at is August of 2022 for opening for all of those new improvements for Ohio High Point home campus. Next one is Ohio High Point and Joint Vocational Schools did not receive any budget cuts for this calendar or this fiscal year from the state of Ohio. And early indications, though this is no guarantee, seem that budget cuts for next year may be minimal for joint vocational schools. So that's kind of just interesting piece of information. The various locations are going to be opening up in very small quantities of students to allow some students to finish certifications that they needed for graduating and moving on to whatever their professional career of choice is. So they're busy kind of working on that, making sure that those last students get those certifications. That's it.
Okay, thanks, Nan. Any questions or comments, anyone? Okay, thank you very much. Next up, superintendent's report. Mrs. Allen.
All right. Okay, so first off, the month of May is always the month where we recognize our retirees. And so we put together a short video recognizing those people who are moving on to a new chapter of their lives to recognize them this afternoon, this evening.
We sure miss not having them here.
Is a presentation of Marysville Exempted Village Schools. The Marysville Exempted Village School District would like to take a moment and recognize our retirees for the 2019-2020. Building principals and department supervisors provided a few words describing each retiree. And without further ado, Janet Benedict taught physical education at both Northwood and Mill Valley Elementary Schools. Janet was always creating new ways to keep our staff and students active. Larissa Moore provided support to some of our amazing students. Her compassion for children and her kind heart is what made her so special at Bunsold. We wish her well in her retirement. Joyce Fry has driven school bus since 1991, spending most of her driving days in the Raymond area. Joyce went over and beyond for her parents and students. Pam Warline. Pam has been in the school systems working since 1985, starting in the kitchens, came to Marysville in 1998, became an onboard instructor and trained school bus drivers. Pam went over and beyond for all of our staff. Laura Koch has taught 35 years, all in Marysville. She has been the backbone of the science department, and her advocacy for her colleagues and students, along with her ability to connect with them, is what has made Laura such an incredible asset to Bunsold. She will be missed, and we wish her well in her retirement. Janet Roars was a special education teacher at Northwood Elementary. Janet worked hard to make sure each of her students found success while at school. Bill Keck. Bill has dedicated 35 years to helping students in the agricultural sciences. 33 of those years were spent at Marysville High School. Bill provided opportunities for all students to engage in real-world educational experiences. He believed that all kids could learn, and countless students have benefited from having him as an instructor. He was a role model, a leader, and his impact on our students, schools, and community will continue for years to come. Luann Freisinger. Luann has been impacting students in the classroom for 34 years. She was a graduate from Marysville High School, and after a short time working in two other districts, would come back to teach and influence thousands of Marysville students over the years. She was always quick to volunteer for any activity or run any organization that helped out students. Her hard work and dedication were apparent to any observer, and she has made an indelible mark on our students, our school, and our community alike. Deb Schnapp. Deb Schnapp has been an integral part of our social studies department for 16 years. Helping students and building relationships are the cornerstones of what made Deb such a special teacher at Bunsold. We will miss her, and we wish her well in her retirement. Clayton Lawrence. Clayton was a wonderful member of the Edgewood team. He could always be counted on to give his best to our students. It was not uncommon for him to break out his guitar and play for the students during lunch. The students and staff loved that. Thanks, Clayton, for making us all smile. We will miss you. To all our retirees, thank you for your service and dedication to the students of Marysville Exempted Village Schools. Congratulations and best wishes on your retirement plans.
Special thanks to Billy and Lynette and Christy for putting that together, but turned out fantastic, even though we can't all be together. So special shout out to all the retirees, and thank you for their collective time here in the district. Next month, we'll try to do something similar with the Good Apple Awards, since we'll probably still be under restrictions for having that many people together. So we've already started work on that as well. I do have quite a few things to go through with you. May 14th, I had my first meeting with a superintendent's advisory medical group. About five or six doctors who, some of them also have students in our school district, serve an advisory group with me. We discussed basically return to school, summer activities, day camps, best practices to kind of start to get the conversation moving around how we might get back to the idea of a new normal or what that might look like in school. So they will continue to consult Kim Jude, who's director of student services, and our school nurse were also in on that phone call. So really appreciative of their time and input. And we had a very productive meeting. We'll be running plans through them on an ongoing basis. They're also committed to sharing articles and best practices as new research comes out on a pretty regular basis on their side that they'll be sharing with us as well. So I'm excited to have that group up and running. You may or may not have seen the CDC release guidelines for back to school. What I would say at this point is let's just be cautious instead of just saying that's absolutely what's going to happen. I would tell you 2 months ago, we certainly look different today than we did 2 months ago. And I would anticipate we look differently in 2 months as well in the future. So just let's give things a chance to settle a little bit before we jump off board with the CDC guidelines. One step at a time, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. We did, I think Todd's going to talk a little bit more about that. I talked last month about offering refunds to students, and he and his team have been working very hard at that, and he's going to share information about that. Last night, the scholarship video was released for high school students, and I thought that was very well done. When I remember that last day of school for teachers, I sent an email to the district encouraging them to make sure they enjoyed summer and tried to detach themselves a little bit from our work and take a breather. Also, graduation is a Saturday from 10 to 5 with a virtual graduation will be uploaded to YouTube at 7. So really appreciative of Tom and Ken and Jen Hender and all the efforts they've put into making Saturday very special, Vera and Dee Dee as well. I wanted to thank Union County Daily Digital Newspaper. If you have not been uptown yet to see the banners that they have made for every senior student at the high school level, it's really cool when you drive downtown. So they're not quite all up yet, but they are working very hard. And couldn't appreciate their donation of those banners anymore. I think it's just a great way to celebrate our kids. Also wanted to thank Honda Marysville for loaning us their billboard on 33, where we were able to show our seniors a little more love. Bruce was able to free up that billboard so that we could hang a advertisement up there celebrating the class. So again, special community with lots of people trying to support our students. I wanted to let you know that our food program wrapped up this week with its last serving of meals. Collectively over the 9-week period, we served 96,061 meals. So Crystal Armstrong, Ryan Walker, and everyone who helped, we couldn't have done it without them. The summer program starts June 1 through August 7th. So there's really, remember they get 10 meals at a time from us. So just really about a week's lag time, a little less. And that program kicks off at the library in a grab and go fashion. Unless something changes with guidelines, it'll be a grab and go meal at that time. Summer school, we're doing several different options. K-6, we've targeted 310 students. Those students are going to receive a variety of reading opportunities. If you remember last year, we switched to the format where we went into neighborhoods and put books in the hands of kids. We're doing that again. We also have had reading specialists who have had a constant commitment from families. They're going to continue to work with those families throughout the summer. I believe there are 50 of those students as well. It's kind of tiered that they're committed to working out throughout the reading or in reading throughout the summer. Sorry about that. And the high school and early college high school and Tri-Academy all have plans that have been submitted. Early college high school and the high school are offering APEX with teacher support. So students will be able to work remotely with teachers to help them through the APEX coursework. And also Tri-Academy, their teachers built coursework for summer school this spring while students weren't attending on a regular basis that Jen will be monitoring over the summertime for credit completion. Today, we sent out a remote learning survey to students 7-12 and to families and to staff to give us feedback on the spring. So really questions around what kind of problems did you have? What did you think went well? Those types of things in order for us to improve our practice around remote learning. We also, let's talk a little bit about enrollments. I wanted to give you an update. Honestly, we're one student off this year as compared to last year. So we had 5150 last year and 5149 this year. Looking forward to next year, our Alt K numbers are up to 49. And last year we had 32 students, to give you an idea. So those numbers have increased, which will warrant an additional section of Alt K. And then our kindergarten numbers are very, last year at this point we had 344 students enrolled. Right now we have 322. That could just be because of restrictions on meeting times and things like that. So those appointments have started to pick up a little bit and we've been able to accommodate them virtually, which we will continue to do. And then we will be able to have parents come in if they need an appointment as well. So we're providing both if needed. Obviously, people who visit are required to wear a mask and we're following safe guidelines for that. We will be recommending Clark Ransom as a girls basketball coach and his contract will be with the winter contracts when that comes out. So he was formerly the assistant boys coach and is very excited to take on the challenge of being a head coach. So excited to welcome him to Marysville in a new role. I also wanted to share with the board, it was important to us to get through graduation, that's close with Saturday. And so Tuesday following, we'll be dropping a video that really is launching a larger community input opportunity for parents to share with us kind of like their hopes and fears and concerns about next school year. We're also asking questions around, is there a medical condition at your home or with your child that you would want to do remote learning full time, and trying to get a gauge of where our parents are and what they're thinking going into next year. We'll really be collecting that data. We're going to do, in addition to the survey, principals will be making targeted phone calls to at least 20 families of that are in their building and asking the same questions. So we're kind of taking a two-layered approach in order to make sure we're casting a wide enough net for that feedback. After that 2 weeks, the leadership team will kind of come together and put the feedback from parents together and generate a variety of plans. I'm hoping at least 3 to 4 that we hope to have organized to share with you at June's meeting. We won't necessarily be looking for approval as we think along the COVID lines, things will continue to change and develop, but we would like to have some structures or frameworks in place and so that we could launch something as we move forward with learning about what our restrictions and constraints may be. So we'll put those out to the and share them with you next month and then also share them with parents after the board meeting for feedback once again. So we're pretty excited to get that launched. and to hear the feedback from parents. I think that if you read in some of the guidelines, we're going to need parents to help us as we move forward. If we want to kind of redefine our new normal, whatever that is, we're going to need some help with restrictions with busing and some other concerns. We're going to be reaching out and asking parents if they have the opportunity to bring their student to school. Would they be able to do that? And some other pieces like that as we continue to navigate. We're going to have to work together. We always do that pretty well, but we're going to have to do it better than ever, I think, to move forward into next year. So we'll be rolling that out on Tuesday, so be looking for that. Also, I will be honest, right before we got on, Ohio High School made a press release, which I have not thoroughly read. So I will read that and give all of you an update probably after the weekend on it, some new parameters. It's my understanding that the governor has released. So those are just fresh this afternoon. As all of you know, and I hope our community knows as well, with the reductions in budget that the governor announced a couple weeks ago, Marysville lost $1 million out of this year's money. As you know, our new money starts in July. So we did receive a reduction of $1 million. So we did come up with a list of things that we're going to do to try to offset that loss. On the agenda tonight and up for your consideration is suspending the percentage incentive pay for administrators, so they would not be eligible for that for this school year. Also for your consideration tonight would be the reduction of supplemental spring sport contracts, so that they would receive about 60% of their contract as opposed to 100% of their contract. Additionally, we've committed to not adding any new positions to the district unless it's warranted by enrollment numbers. So for example, if kindergarten exploded this year and we were outside our class size restrictions, we would look to add staff in that kind of situation in order to maintain class sizes. We also will not be replacing the special ed position at the board office. Kristen Jones is on for a recommendation to take the Mill Valley principalship this year, later in the agenda as well. And we would not be replacing that position at the board office. We've been able to divvy up her responsibilities amongst others in the district. Collectively, those reductions or changes that I have laid out would be able to offset about $200,000 of the budget. So I just wanted to kind of update those for you as well. I think that's all for my long list. Thank you.
Does anybody have questions of Diane?
No.
Nope. Okay. Then next up we Yes.
Can I ask one question?
Yes, sir.
So Diane, I know that you're getting various guidelines from the state for how to reopen, and I know you're working on that and we'll continue working on it through the summer. Any of the guidelines that have come out so far require additional staff to be hired?
The only one that I would be, that we continue to be concerned about is transportation. So the latest guideline that has been released would require one student per seat and every other seat to be occupied, which cuts your bus capacity really in like a fourth of what it normally is. So, you know, to be quite honest, I'm not even sure you could find that many bus drivers available to take on that load. So we'll continue to monitor that. That's the one piece that's most concerning for me, Brian.
Yeah, I had a question. I think you mentioned that there was a messaging went out to parents 7-12 asking about remote learning. And I may have misunderstood that, but is there going to be something done for K-6 along that line?
So the survey for parents is K-12. For students, it's 7-12.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions?
Are we done hiring for the school year? Have we filled all of our positions?
We have two positions remaining. Several are on your agenda tonight. I think you've probably seen that. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, all of them are, the teachers have till July 11th. So the two positions we have a plan for, but teachers have till July 11th to be hired by another district. One of the issues, quite honestly, that we have run into, a couple of our teachers accepted positions at Dublin. Dublin went on a hiring freeze, and so they are not willing to submit their letter until they're officially hired at Dublin. So we're kind of playing that balancing game right now. But okay, we're in really good shape teacher-wise today.
Okay.
That can change quickly, but
tomorrow.
All right. Today we're in good shape. I think, yeah, the only other thing is I do know too, there was a lot of anxiousness about hiring a new choir director, and that's on the agenda as well tonight.
Thank you.
What was the anxiety about the choir director position?
Not bad anxiety, just ready to get one hired. How's that? Just given that we filled last year with a sub for the year, there was a lot of interest in that position.
I just want to make a comment about the nice retirement video that you had at the beginning of your report, and just kind of echo your comments. There's some pretty amazing people on that video that are joining the retiree ranks, and we're really gonna miss seeing them in the buildings, and we really do appreciate everything that they've done over the years. Just wanna say that. Okay, Todd, ready for the treasurer's report?
If I can,
sure.
I'd like to speak to the retirees. I thought the video was really very nice, and I appreciate all the hard work that went into that. And all the teachers and staff, bus drivers, everybody that is retiring, I think I know every single one of them in some capacity or another. And they are real stalwarts of our district. They have given hours and hours of service and gone, I think it was mentioned several times, they go above and beyond. And so when you talk about people like Joyce Fry and Bill Keck and Janet Roars and everybody on that list, every single one of them, whenever there was a need for the district or a need for the kids, they stepped up and provided that. So wishing them well in their retirement.
Okay. Todd, you ready for the treasurer's report?
Yeah. So for the treasurer's report, we've got the May 5-year forecast that's on the agenda tonight. The forecast that's on the agenda for approval is not the same forecast that I presented in more detail at last month's meeting. I believe Billy is going to share on the screen a summary document of the forecast. Okay, so there you've got that. So I'm just going to be talking high level about the forecast because they're really the only changes I made to the forecast were to state revenue. I wouldn't call this forecast a worst case scenario forecast because it's kind of hard to pick what really is a worst case scenario right now. But I would kind of call this maybe a baseline forecast because really doing a 5-year forecast right now is really an impossible task because it really changes daily with different things coming in, not knowing what cuts are going to be in the future and those kinds of things. So I look at this as kind of a baseline that I think we can build out off of and hopefully build on to improve the numbers. And that'll make sense as I talk a little bit about it. The changes that I made to the state funding for the state funding compared to the last month would include in fiscal year 20, as Diane mentioned, we received a cut of $1,030,000. That's coming out of our second May and our two June foundation payments. Did not expect that to happen, so that was not in our forecast last month. So that's been added, which reduces our revenue. And then in last month's forecast from fiscal year 21 and beyond, I had modeled in a 5% reduction in each year of the forecast and state funding. For fiscal year 21, that number's been increased to 10%, a 10% reduction, and then the 5% stays the same in 22, 23, and 24. So looking at the big picture and what you see on the screen there, the numbers I usually like to look at are on line 6.01, and that's comparing total revenues versus total expenditures. And you like to see a black number there. The red number in parentheses means you're spending more than you're bringing in. So usually it's the goal, you know, we want to avoid that. But at some point it becomes impossible to avoid because as you can see on the top line of that forecast, we're showing reduced revenues in each year, which is a result of state funding going down. We've got our tangible personal property reimbursement. That's already a sure thing that's being phased out each year. So that's already going down. Now we're assuming our foundation revenue is going down as well. So really, there's the only way to avoid 6.01 being red is to either, you know, change what we're doing, cut offerings, or increase revenues, which would be a levy at some point. So since we really can only impact that number so much on 6.01 because we can't do anything about state funding, we're at the mercy of the state, and without changing cutting programs significantly. So then we're going to need to look down at the bottom line of the forecast, line 15.01. So that's the ending cash balance. And the reason we would look at that number is that that kind of drives our levy cycle. And the date we were hoping for our next levy was going to be 2023. And as I mentioned, using this forecast as a baseline, while really tight, you know, showing an ending cash balance of $700,000, we would still be on track to meet that goal of not having a levy on the ballot until 2023. If you remember last month, the forecast I showed had an ending cash balance of about $3 million. So that number's gone down now to $700,000 with these new cuts. Now, I'll talk a little bit about, you know, what I would consider the good news. So this forecast does not include any of those cuts that Diane has talked about, the expenditure cuts that we're looking to do. That's why I call this a baseline, and hopefully that $700,000, you know, we're working to bring that number up to strengthen our position and help to ensure that we stay on our levy cycle. Some of those cuts she already mentioned. We talked about the things that are on the agenda tonight, the admin stipend, the spring supplementals, some of those staffing changes. That's about $200,000 in total with those items. We're also doing budget cuts for the fiscal year 21 budgets, with the goal being a 20% cut, but at the same time knowing that's not possible across the board because there's some things you can't cut without, you know, entirely cutting a program or reducing a service, and we're not at that point yet. But I would anticipate that would be probably a minimum of a $300,000 savings when that is all completed. We're still working on that. We're looking at probably savings of $200,000 due to the lockdown. So we're saving money on supplies, saving money on bus fuel, utilities, things like that. So that's probably an additional $200,000. Another thing not included in this forecast, we have federal CARES funding, has not been awarded yet, but we should be receiving $298,000. We were told that we should receive it, at least have access to it sometime in this fiscal year. So we'll see, just hasn't happened yet. But as I said, the good news there is when you take into account those expenditure reductions, you know, some small, some large, those added together reach, you know, right around $1 million. So things that we're looking to do or have done already, we've pretty much offset the loss in state funding for fiscal year 20. Now, we haven't offset, we don't even know what the number is yet for fiscal year 21. So, you know, whether that's something we could look to offset or if it's going to be too big, you know, we don't know that yet. So we'll, you know, keep you updated as, you know, as we get more information ourselves. You know, and also I did want to highlight, I'd mentioned that, you know, I wouldn't call this a worst case scenario because, you know, worst case scenario is funding goes to zero. I don't, you know, not to say that's even rational, but I did just run some simulations just to see, you know, what if it were worse than 10%, you know, what happens then? And, you know, it, to me, I would kind of call it good news and kind of say that, you know, we were in a very good position to be able to handle a situation like this because we've really, you know, put ourselves in a good financial position with having a large carryover balance right now. That if, you know, if we looked at even a larger state funding cut than that 10%, you know, we would still, you know, in a worst case scenario, most likely be pushing up our levy cycle by 1 year. Not something we want to do, but if that's the worst thing we've got to look at, then, you know, that's better than what some districts might be facing in this time. I think that's it. Any questions on the forecast?
I just wanted to comment. I know you also sent this revised forecast out to the Finance Committee. Did you get any response from anyone on that?
No substantial, you know, comments, just, you know, thank yous and things.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Anybody else have questions?
Yeah, comments? I had a question, Todd. But this could be for anybody on the board or Diane who's been following the state discussions. That maybe we can't answer this yet, but if there are more cuts next year, are they going to take into account the fact that our district is already losing 5% a year because of the TPP?
I mean, we don't know that, but my answer would be most likely no. They've already made it pretty clear the last several years, you know, to put it bluntly, I don't think they really care that we're losing TPP reimbursement money. That's kind of in the past for them. You know, we're still experiencing it, but the state legislature, it's kind of off of their plate. I mean, we do know for sure there are state cuts coming next year. That's been, you know, been said that it's coming. We just haven't been told how much. We do know that for the cuts that they currently made, two items they looked at. One was, I guess, your ability to raise taxes in the district. You know, how much property taxes are your current residents already paying? Could they afford to pay more? Which doesn't really, you know, bode well for our district because we have a very low tax effort, which would mean the state would look at us and say, you know, you guys could afford to pay more property taxes, so we're going to cut your taxes a little higher than some other districts, you know, potentially. And then the second thing they looked at is what's your ending cash balance. If you're a district that's sitting pretty, such as we are, we're fortunate we have a very large balance. Well, you know, take from the rich and give to the poor. They're going to look at that balance and say, well, again, you can afford a larger cut than some other districts. So, you know, I guess you kind of get penalized for, in my opinion, doing things the right way.
Okay. Thank you, Todd.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about the TPP, and when you were talking about that as one of the line items there, I You know, hopefully they won't, the legislators won't look at that and say, you know, let's just phase it out a little faster or something. I could see that happening because it's so few districts anymore that are even getting those funds. So
hopefully none of them are watching this meeting and got that idea.
Okay. Really?
I know in my conversations with legislators that they look at the current schedule of reductions as being the best case scenario for school districts. And so they're not, I don't think they're going to touch this. It was a much faster reduction, and we argued that at least give us a softer landing, and they were able to do that.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, only one other thing I wanted to mention is that fee refunds will be going out next week for graduating seniors. So any seniors who had paid a fee for a class where they, you know, that class was cut short, so, you know, some of that fee really wasn't used, they're getting a refund for those fees, as well as any athletes who had paid to participate fees for spring sports, which is a relatively low number of people who had actually paid already. But those refunds will be going out as well, and those will be mailed next week.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've got a question for Todd. Todd, at one point, I know there was someone, and I forget who now, shared a concern about property values being affected by the current situation. And I know at that time you expressed your opinion about that. So would you mind doing that again, please?
Yeah, you know, there's always the chance that this could have an impact on property values, which could end up impacting our real estate tax revenue. So that could happen. I don't think we're at the point yet where we need to model that into a forecast or assume that's going to happen. You know, if this is a relatively quick recovery, you know, I think the worst thing you would see from a real estate standpoint is there, you know, maybe there's some delinquencies, especially maybe on the commercial side, some of the commercial business, some of these businesses that are hurting, maybe are going to have a little trouble paying their taxes. But delinquencies, that does not mean that money never gets collected. It means it's still owed. So you typically with delinquencies, you still collect those at some point later down the road. Real estate right now is still, you know, selling. Houses are going off the market very quickly. So there's no, at the current time, there's no reason to think that valuations are going to go down significantly. So really it's just going to have to keep an eye on the recovery. And if it ends up, you know, they've talked about a V-shaped recovery as a possibility versus a long-term recovery. If it turns out taking much longer than anticipated, then, you know, we'll have to revisit those ideas and, you know, maybe make some adjustments to real estate. But as of now, I don't see a reason to do that.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thank you, Todd.
Welcome.
Okay, for my report, just want to start out by saying that the first week of May was Staff Appreciation Week, and I know our board had a lot of fun putting a video together. I hope our staff felt as appreciated as they are by all of us. Also wanted to do a couple of special shout outs. I know Diane has already mentioned this, but I also wanted to mention it for the board, but Crystal Armstrong, who's been coordinating the food deliveries, Union County Daily Digital, and Honda Marysville. Really, we're just so grateful for everything that you've done to support our seniors with the banners and with the billboard rental. Also, I noticed I got an email from OSBA that they are extending their deadline for any committee applications. So if any board member was interested in serving on a committee, those applications are due by June 30th. I know Brian is currently on the Central Region Executive Committee. And I don't know, Brian, did you have a chance to double check what your term is?
No, I haven't had a chance to get in touch with her yet, but I believe it's another year at least.
Okay. And there are other committees, so if any board member would be interested in serving, just make sure you get an application in by June 30th. And then for my student achievement report, just gotten a lot of good information over the past month or so. And so Kim Miller-Smith kind of highlighted some of the things that we've learned over these past few weeks. And one was to identify our priorities, which I think, you know, that makes a lot of sense. There's so much going on now, and we know we can't serve our students the way that we did when they're in our buildings. So it's just really important to really identify what's most important and to foster community and take a whole child approach. We know that many of the students, their needs are far from academic at this time. And there's also been some other data about how long it's going to take to recover from the learning loss. And while we also deal with the social, emotional, and economic impacts. So I really feel like it's going to be a great opportunity for our district to showcase our motto, which is innovate, collaborate, and inspire, as we all know. But even just listening to some of Diane's report, talking about what they've got set up for planning for next year already, I really just think that highlights the way we do things in Marysville. So I'm really appreciate that. Also, after Todd has shared all of his information with us, with the budget cuts, just kind of a reminder to the board about our responsibility to our staff and our community to protect their investment in our district. And we have a strong cash balance, and it's not there by accident. I know that Todd and Diane have really done a great job at making sure that all of our expenditures are happening for specific reasons to support student achievement and to recognize the value of our staff as well. So anyways, just kind of want to remind everyone of that, which I know we all know. Also, OSBA has been hosting a variety of virtual meetings. Back in February, Nan, Dick, and I attended the first social-emotional summit, learning summit, and then they've been holding monthly learning sessions, and so this last Thursday, they had one. And really kind of talking about how this crisis is going to result in such historic changes for public education, and just reminded me how a lot of the changes that we've been working on here regarding personalized learning and social emotional learning, all of those kinds of things are going to put us in a good position as we move forward. And yesterday's town hall meeting, which I know Mr. Smith attended as well, covered a lot of the challenges about transportation. So OSBA is really doing a great job of providing resources for board members, really for anybody. So I encourage people to go to OSBA's website. They always tape all of these town hall meetings and other virtual events, and so they're available for you to listen to at any time. This next month, June, I'm hoping that we can have our meeting in person, and I know that we'll need to kind of review our the safety or the guidelines. And you know, back in March when we had our special meeting, we came in, took temperatures, did social distancing. So hopefully we'll be able to do something similar in June, but we would be limiting our meetings to 10 people. So unfortunately we still wouldn't have any presentations or be able to, like you said, honor people in person. And I think that's it for my report. Next up, we have the legislative report.
I hope all of you received it. I sent it out just before the meeting started. Just a few things on there. I sent an email to Emily Green, who is in Jim Jordan's office, and the person that usually I visit with when I'm in Washington. And I encouraged her to bring up with the representative the need for broadband high-speed internet access. That has been a real issue for our district, trying to make sure that everybody has access, has the data capabilities, and so forth that you get into. And the other thing is that the CARES funds are pretty limited, or at least were initially limited to very specific things connected to the COVID-19 pandemic. And the OSBA and National School Board Association have wanted the federal government to relax some of those guidelines, some of those limitations, because there are certainly a lot of things that are not maybe directly associated with the pandemic, but are certainly a result of the pandemic. And so funding flexibility would certainly be helpful there. And I got a reply from her just an hour or so before this meeting, and she said she would bring those things up, particularly the internet issue, the flexibility with CARES. She was not as optimistic about that as what I might have hoped. I had a phone conversation with Dave Burke yesterday that led to a phone conversation between Senator Burke and Diane a little bit later. He was going into some meetings. Senators are starting to look at next year, what it might look like. And he was just trying to get kind of a perspective. We talked about lawsuits. We talked about transportation issues. We talked about disinfecting and trying to get kids back. How I shared with him that Diane and our administrators are looking at every conceivable possibility to try to provide the best education that we can for kids under whatever circumstances we face this coming fall. And I think he was very receptive to that. And I'm very hopeful that over the next several weeks that the state is going to be able to put together some guidelines. We did talk about the fact that there's probably not a one-size-fits-all that is going to work, that they can set out some guidelines, but, you know, transportation issues in the inner city and in rural areas are going to be entirely different. And so they're going to have to really work and allow a lot of flexibility. Now, he raised the question with me. He said, yeah, that's fine, but then that throws the decisions to your superintendent and your board as to how you're going to do things. And I said, yeah, yes, I know. But sometimes if you ask and you get what you ask for, it can be problematic. But that was basically our discussion. I asked Diane about their phone call. She said it was very productive, and she hopes to have future conversations with the senator. So, and I put some other things in there, but the legislature's been kind of all over the place and not a whole lot of activity taking place. So that's my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? Okay. Amy, do you have a safety report?
Yes, I do. To give you an update on the recreational marijuana, as of May 5th, the Ohio Attorney General has rejected the efforts to legalize recreational marijuana in Ohio because they were lacking valid signatures. So as that continues to go on, I'll be following that. But they did not have a lot, they didn't have enough valid signatures to put that forward. Also, May is Mental Health Month. The message that they're sending out to everyone is you're not alone. With the COVID-19, there is a higher risk of depression and suicide. In March of this year, the Distress Helpline saw a 338% in call volume compared to February. So I wanted to give that number out. It's the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Care Line, 1-800-720-9616. Because we are seeing an increase in that on the mental health side. I wanted to make sure that that number got out. Also, the Prevention Alliance, it's actually called the Prevention Alliance Action Alliance. They're suggesting that families put out a chore chart, and this like helps with the kids to give them support, to share their hopes and dreams. It gives them empowerment when they feel safe and are connected with the family, that there's a chore chart and they're all in this together and doing things together, to set boundaries and expectations and make sure they're clear expectations for the kids, and constructive use of time. So that if they have anything, and then that's kind of an external, but the internal is commitment to learning and to keep them with positive values, social competencies, positive identity. And so this website, which is preventionactionalliance.org, if parents want to go on there, they have all types of ideas that you can do with your children during this time and to help them keeping that positive attitude and learning how to make adjustments that they're having to do at this time. And that's it for me.
Good information. Thanks, Amy. Any comments or questions, anyone? Okay. Next on our agenda, I would accept a motion to approve our draft minutes from the April 16th regular meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Any questions, comments, edits to the minutes? Okay, roll call then.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next on the agenda, I would accept a motion to approve all of the Treasurer CFO action items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Todd, do you have any comments, anything else you want to share?
Mostly the usual. We've got the April financials, appropriations, some small increases there. You'll see a couple federal increases. Those that's not the CARES money that we're expecting to get. Those are just minor reallocations. So, pretty much normal.
Okay.
Also, the five-year forecast is on there that we talked about earlier.
Right. I'd asked a couple questions after you had sent out those revisions. And obviously, this May one is about as much of a unknown forecast as you can have. It's just going to be interesting to see, by November, how much new information. Well, obviously, then we'll know the two-year forecast or the two-year budget at that point. But I appreciate all the time you put into, making these adjustments. And again, just glad that we're starting where we're starting.
Right.
Any questions? Okay. Roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, I would accept a motion to approve the superintendent items. Do I have a motion to approve the superintendent items?
So moved.
Is that you, Brian?
Yes, it was.
Okay, motion by Mr. Luke.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Okay, Ms. Fallon.
you will see new staff listed on there for hiring this year. Also, you have your approval of policies that we looked at last month. Very exciting to have our list of 2020 graduates on this section as well. All the school handbooks for next year. Also, I have sent you lots of information. We had talked earlier, if you remember, maybe even in the winter about graduation seals and that those would be coming forward. And you can see what the principals have planned. Those go into effect for freshmen, the class of 2023. I tried to send you a couple links, and I know Sue sent a new one that can kind of show you the tiered system of moving towards seals over the next couple years with graduation requirements.
Comments, questions? Are you going to say something, Nan? Oh, I thought you were going to say something. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that it's the new graduation requirements, the opportunity for a student to qualify or meet one of the standards for graduation with the additional seals is really very nice. And, opens up some new opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know we've got, it's exciting to, you've already talked about this, Diane, but Kristen Jones on there for the Mill Valley principal, and you know, we have a choir teacher on there. That's always an exciting position with the amazing choir that we have. There aren't any other questions, then roll call.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries.
Mrs. Devine, if I could, we have a short video to put in here. Okay.
Hi, I'm Kristen Jones, and I wanted to take the time to thank the Marysville Board of Education for the opportunity to be the principal of Mill Valley Elementary for the 2020-2021 school year. I've been incredibly blessed to be able to work in Marysville schools for 16 years, and I'm so happy that I get to continue my journey at Mill Valley Elementary. I'm so incredibly proud to be part of this district and to continue to be able to innovate, collaborate, and inspire. Thank you.
Thank you, Kristen.
That's awesome.
We're really excited. We'll be excited to see you at Mill Valley. Okay, next on our agenda, I would accept a motion to recommend to suspend administrator payout incentives for 2019-2020 school year.
So moved.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion by Mr. Smith and second by Ms. Savage. Comments, questions?
I know that this was a difficult decision by the administration, and I realize that in these unprecedented times, there's sacrifices being made across our community, and executives at businesses are missing out on bonuses or additional pay. Owners of businesses are missing out on pay so that their staff can maintain their pay. And I want to just acknowledge that it was a difficult decision for everyone and acknowledge the sacrifice that the staff is making.
And I add to that, I put some time and thought into this as well, and it is difficult, and we got $1 million cut without expecting it. That's a difficult blow to absorb. However, we're in a good financial position, and I'm pleased that the cuts that are being proposed do not mean that we're losing any staff or that we're cutting pay. And I want to say that if this passes, it's in no way an indicator of not appreciating how much the administrators do all year and also how much they've been doing during this crisis, because this is something that I don't think any educator saw coming, and we're dealing with it on a day-to-day basis, coping with it, trying to find the best way to deliver education now and in the fall. And I know how much work the administrators are putting into that, and I really appreciate that.
I'd like to just second what Brian said. I thought he did a great job of communicating everything that's on my mind.
I'd like to third it then as well. I know, because I just can't even imagine when you're in a position where you're having to just kind of fly by the seat of your pants and try to figure things out, you know, and support your staff, support the workers that work under you, and, you know, work with the community, all of those kinds of things. And they've just done an amazing job. So it is, I'm grateful that hopefully they're not too upset about not having these incentives. I know some of them were tied to the report card that's not going to even be there. But anyways, it's a very nice gesture.
I'd like to thank them also.
Yeah.
We have an amazing team, and
we really do. Yep. Okay, roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next on the agenda, I would accept a motion to partially reduce the spring supplemental contracts.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage. Do we have a second?
Yes, I'll second that.
Second by Mr. Smith. Okay, comments, discussion, questions?
There are times that we've been able to take votes that have been really positive things, but this is certainly not one of those times. The previous action and this one are really hard.
I understand. I mean, I think on the table right here, it's our spring, I guess a little history, the spring sports were canceled officially. And obviously we know our coaches for just about every kind of thing pretty much work with their students year round. And we recognize that, we value that. We're really grateful. We know that that's, it's part of having that personal connection, and these extracurriculars are just critical for so many of our students. But the reality is this season was canceled. And so at this point, those coaches have received 4 out of their 7 pays. And so this would be a reduction of the final, or elimination of the final 3 pays. And I know, from a lot of the virtual meetings that we've been to, it's kind of all across the board. And I think Todd did some surveys of some surrounding districts. Isn't that right, Todd?
Yeah, there was still a lot of unknowns, but there were, there were some districts that were going ahead and paying 100%. There were some districts that were looking some type of proration, a lot of them, like a 50% scenario.
Well, and I think that our coaches, just like the admins and everyone else, everybody knows that we have had to take a hard hit with this. And so I'm pleased that we are able to pay them the 60% of their pay.
Yeah, I feel the same. And I'm not sure there's a perfect answer to this. Of course, the saddest thing is that the seasons were canceled.
Right.
Start with that. And that's a big loss to all of our athletes and our coaches, and in some cases will not come back. My hope is that all the sports do come back in the fall and winter, spring coming up. What about the spring is a difficult judgment call, whether to all or none or half. So this is a difficult vote that I also took very seriously and appreciate the administration thinking it through, and also appreciate the coaches who continue to work with their athletes even when their seasons were canceled.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and I kind of like what you had said before. I don't think, this is not, the recommendation is not to be a reflection on the value that is placed on any of our employees, I think we all feel very strongly about that.
Correct.
If I can, this has been something that has kept me up at night. I've got the letters that Luke and Lucy sent, and really appreciated their perspectives, and clearly I understand that. I was a coach and advisor for my entire coaching or teaching career, and I know how hard you work, and I also know it year-round. And it's just really difficult. The cut from the governor was not something we anticipated, and I'm certain that it's just a difficult situation, and it's been really hard and is a very hard situation for me. But I know that we have to make a decision.
Thank you for referencing those emails as well, because I had them in front of me too, and I wanted to make sure I commented on them as well. You all know my whole life I've been surrounded by coaches, so I have great regard for the time and the effort that they put in, and how much they care about their how much they really care about their kids. So, yeah. Any other comments or questions?
I would say that, I've been mulling this over. I've been talking with people in our community, trying to get a sense. I had conversations with a couple of people today that are associated with our athletic programs, their parents, and our community, and so forth. And when I brought this topic up with them, they just shook their heads and they said, This is not a good thing. But as we talked, they both expressed that it was important to look at the long-term financial security of our school district and to try to make sure that the teaching jobs, the academics in our school district are protected and insulated from cuts as much as we can, and it's just unfortunate that this happened. I really feel particularly about the track, feel bad about what happened with the track program. We were, I think, all looking forward to them having a great time, a great season on a new facility, and to have that all blow up, that this, was just, it's not right, but it's not anybody's fault. That's the situation we're in. So we need to look at it, look hard, try to make the right decision, try to make that decision for the right reasons, and move on.
Well said, Mr. Smith. Okay. Roll call, Ben.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
You're muted, Amy.
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And now we are to the comments section. Let's see, I will start with, how about Mr. Luke?
My main comment is appreciation for what our teachers and staff have been doing the last month or two, adapting to an unforeseen situation, finding ways to continue educating, finding ways to put a graduation ceremony together that will be really special and memorable and will recognize our graduates. So I just wanted to express my appreciation for all the work that's been done and everything that's going to continue to go on this summer and into the fall as we really dig into this problem of how do we educate our kids regardless of what restrictions are put on us in the fall. So thank you to the entire district, including the parents.
Definitely, yeah. Okay, Ms. Savage.
I want to reiterate Brian's comment. I want to thank all the parents and staff in regards to all the input that has been put forth to make this the most positive graduation experience for the class of 2020. I also want to say thank you to all of our retirees for all their time and dedication that they've put forth for the many years of service to the Marysville School District and the community. And lastly, I'd like to say thank you to Mrs. Allen for the personal thank you notes that were sent out to all the staff in the district. There was a lot of positive comments regarding those. So thank you very much.
Ms. Powers.
I just want to say thank you to all of the staff, all from the administration down, that have pulled us through this entire year with these kids and all the parents who have had to take care of that. As I said in the videos, I'll say it again, we're a team. And the way I see it, proud to be a Monarch, we're the best in Ohio. And I have had nothing but positive remarks, how our staff, our administrators, everybody has jumped in. You guys made all of our kids feel special in this community, and that's what it's all about. And thank you to all the retirees. Thank you for giving so much to our community and to our children, and good luck in the future.
Okay, Mr. Smith.
When my wife and I first moved to Marysville, people would tell us that this was the best place in the whole world, not just the United States, but the best place in the whole world to live, that people in this community really wrapped their arms around each other. Good times, bad times didn't make any difference. And I really think that the challenges that the COVID-19 pandemic have given us have helped to focus our attention on wrapping our arms around others. The adoption of our seniors by people, neighbors, friends, individuals that don't know the seniors, that were willing to step up and adopt them, you know, lift them up. We've mentioned the signs downtown, the community, the billboards, all the banners that have gone up around town, stuck in front yards, all that kind of stuff. This graduating class is going to have a graduation ceremony unlike any. And it probably is going to be one, if not the most memorable graduation that any Marysville High School class has ever had. So I'm really thankful and happy to live in Marysville and to see all the people in our community pull together and support our kids. It's been mentioned by everybody that we have an amazing staff. We really do. And I know that the planning for next year has already started, and we haven't quite even finished this year yet. It's going to be an amazing end of our year. It's going to be a beautiful summer, and then I know that the start of the Dukes next year, regardless of what that is, how that comes together, is going to be amazing. It's going to be absolutely amazing because I have great confidence in our leadership and our administration. I have great confidence in the teachers, the coaches, the bus drivers, custodians, cooks, maintenance departments, everybody involved. They're going to step up and they're going to do great. So I hope everybody has a great summer, and I am looking forward to an exciting start of the year next year.
Hey, Sue, may I say one more thing? Because I would be remiss not to say thank you to our entire community. And as Dick had said, you know, not just everybody in our school and everything, but our community has really stepped up, and all the signs up for the kids and everything is just absolutely fantastic. And it sure does everyone proud to know that our community, that we live in such a place that everybody goes out and steps up to the line when we need it.
Right. Okay, thank you. Todd, would you like to add anything?
No, I don't have anything to add.
Diane.
So, I hope to not get emotional. You know, we talked at length about the spring season and coaches missing out on the opportunity, and we have 510 student athletes not get the opportunity to have that spring event. And as a former spring coach, it's already a crazy season. Sometimes you get snowed out in the middle of the springtime, right? So my heart certainly goes out to all of them. And you know, right now I feel like we're living in a time where there's more unknowns than there's knowns, and I couldn't appreciate more everyone's willingness to jump on board and create opportunities and show passion and empathy and grace for our students and our staff. You know, we really worked hard to not be victimized by this situation, but instead created an opportunity to reimagine what school might be in the future. And I hope that we can maintain that momentum moving forward. Last but not least, I would just give a heartfelt congratulations to the class of 2020. This will be the first graduation I haven't attended in 29 years in education because there's not enough space for us to be there. But know that I'll be watching every one of you cross Impact Stadium end zone with pride and encouragement, and looking forward to how each one of you are going to change the world.
All right. Huh. I understand you're being a little bit worried about being emotional after listening to all of these things, guys. I mean, I am getting choked up. But I guess I don't really want to say too much because I'm struggling. So let's just finish with how about a standing ovation for everybody, okay? Our retirees, our students, our families, our staff, businesses, here we go. We really appreciate you all. So with that, how about a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers. Roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. We're adjourned. Go Monarchs. Congrats, seniors.
And we're clear.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, everybody.
See ya.
Todd, I'll send you the audio file. Just FYI, I didn't get the recording started right at the beginning. I didn't miss a whole lot, though. It was basically just the Pledge of Allegiance, and I think it was just the first opening comment Diane had or somebody had. That was it, though. So,
okay, that's fine.
It'll be on the YouTube stream without a problem. You can go catch it there if you want to. I'll send you the audio file here in a minute.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
Yep, not a problem.